That's the leg tattoo.
Who's smiling picture? Who's doing it?
He doesn't smile picture. He doesn't
smile picture.
All right. This is on.
Who's asking?
It's already on. No one's saying anything coolest.
What?
I don't want to forget because it's not mine.
Someone
will
do it for you.
All right.
The guy who's right there.
Someone
will
do it
for you.
All right, we'll
turn this off.
Recording? Sorry, it's a little early. You the white toe again? You're in charge of doing it for white toe?
No, someone just gave it to me to record.
So that's why you record it. I have a matching one. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Can't start yet. Keep cruising. Gotta wait a few minutes. Are you on it? That's a minute. I make my own copies, so I make sure they're all clear. All
right.
No, I'm all right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I always say yes and then I end up not trying to. Soda? Someone ends up feeling that. I thought you were being overly ambitious with 40. Forget how many guys went to DRS.
Lewis doesn't need any introduction, definitely not for me. But just a quick moment. I emailed Lewis for a quick question. Would you be willing to come for this year? And it was immediate yes. Like the, you know, some you had to work out details. It didn't matter the details. Lewis was in. He was willing to come give a shir. Lewis, Rav of Beis Knesset North Woodmere, and a Magid shir in DRS and Yeshiva Lev Shlomo. Without further ado, I have to go introduce someone else. But
go ahead, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Pleasure to be here. Always a great pleasure to be here. So you now know that I have the least busy schedule in the world. I was able to respond immediately without checking my schedule at all, that I am available any night. Always great to be here in YU, and always great to teach Torah. As a rabbi, I deal with a lot of halachic shailas, and around Hanukkah time, most of the halachic shailas are fairly boring. Most of them are the same. They are some version of, I am at a Hanukkah party at relative X. I'm not going to get home till time Y. And when should I light Neros Hanukkah? Where should I light Neros Hanukkah? I'm away for Shabbos. And it's not even like you could put out a quick, these are the basic answers to all the questions, so don't bother calling me, because every little nuance changes how you would paskin the halacha. You really just need to know that you have to have a real good mahalich in that area of halacha. But every time I get a Hanukkah shayla that's not about that, that's not in the 95% of Hanukkah shaylas that are about I'm away for Shabbos or I'm at a Hanukkah party, my wife doesn't want to light without me kind of thing. Every time I get some other Hanukkah shayla, I get all excited. And I had a few this year that I thought were very interesting. Now, originally, when I was asked what I would say Shiron, I said, I was sitting next to a very yeshivish guy, and I said, I'm supposed to say Shiron YU, something related to Hanukkah. What comes to your mind when you hear why you in Chanukah? So he said the Maccabees. So originally I said, okay, so I'll do all the Maccabee shilas. I went through my old emails. I came up with 15 shilas or so that the Maccabees have asked me over the years. When other people give them answers they didn't like or something. But then I realized the Maccabees really have nothing to do with Chanukah. They made their name in Chanukah, but they really the shilas had very little to do with Chanukah. So I left one in there at the end. I don't know if we'll get to it or not. Let's go through a couple of actual shailas that I was excited by. There is a fellow, I changed his name because I forgot his name. We call him Mr. Charles in scenario number one over here in question number one, who is in from England for a long weekend, and he was flying back on one of the nights of Chanukah. His flight left early enough that he would have to leave his daughter's house in New York before even Plag HaMincha, before the Zman HaDaka. So he was going to be on a plane the whole night of Chanukah. He was going to arrive in England 9 o'clock the next morning, well past the Zman HaDaka there. He was going to be on a plane all night during Chanukah. So first his shaila was, what do I do about HaDaka's Neres Chanukah? Now that's a fairly standard shaila. But then he was thinking. He wasn't asking the standard run-of-the-mill shaila. He started to think to himself and he said, well, wait a second. The halacha is, in Shulchan Aruch, this is one of those halachas that if you're learning Hilchos Chanukah, you're trying to review within Shloshim Yom or something, the halachas of Chanukah, you sort of skip over this halacha because it's so not nogea b'zman hazeh. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that afilu ani amisparnis min atzedakah shoel o mocher ksuso velokeach shemen lahadlik. That even if a person is so poor that he can't afford any Neros Chanukah, he would have to sell his clothing, he'd have to borrow, he'd have to do something, he has to go begging, he'd have to do something in order to be able to find Neros Chanukah. So who's so poor that they can't even afford Neros Chanukah? Everyone could afford Neros Chanukah. Someone will give them Neros Chanukah. Not so hard to afford a single candle for Neros Chanukah. Stephen, you heard this, right? Not so hard to be able to afford Neros Chanukah. So you sort of like run through that halacha. But the halacha technically is, no matter how poor you are, you have to find the money for Neros Chanukah. So this guy says, well, wait a second. I'm going to be flying through the night. Last time I tried to light a candle on a plane, I got arrested. So I'm not going to try to light a candle on a plane again. That's not doable. That's not feasible. So I can have my ticket changed to not fly through the night. It's a $300 fee to change my ticket, so I won't fly through the night. Maybe I'm a chayiv to pay the $300 fee to not fly through the night. I was able to afford the plane ticket. It's not going to be my last $300. And even if it were my last $300, maybe that's part of my chiyuv. Maybe my chiyuv in Ner Chanukah says that I have to spend whatever it takes to change my plane ticket. So right there, it was like a light bulb in my head that here it is, a halacha that we think is not no gale l'maisa at all, and we have to figure out how to apply this halacha to a very real situation that, by the way, happens all the time. Just most people don't ask that as their question. They ask the question, what do I do about Ner Chanukah? They don't ask, do I change my ticket? Of course you can change your ticket. You can always change your ticket for enough money. You can always change your ticket. But no one ever asks that question. Really, that should be the question. Do you have to change your ticket? So on the surface, you say, well, of course you have to change your ticket. That's the halacha. You have to give up everything you have. You have to spend all your money in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So why would you say different? Meaning, why would there be any svara not to have to change the ticket? Because I would imagine if I would take a poll in here, I'm not going to right now, but I'm sure many of you know people or yourself have flown on Chanukah, and probably none of you know anybody who changed their ticket at significant expense in order to be able to do Hadlakas Neros Chanukah on a given night of Chanukah. So what's the difference? If it's halacha, psukah, and shulchan aruch, that you have to spend all your money for Neros Chanukah, why isn't there a halacha that you have to spend all the money to change your ticket in order to be chayiv in Neros Chanukah? So that was the question that intrigued me. So first off, before we analyze anything, the first thing you have to look at is, well, wait a second. If a person is traveling on a plane on Chanukah, is it true that he can't fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah while he's traveling? Maybe there's a possibility. Maybe while he's on the plane, he can fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Marsham has a tshuva about a guy going on a train ride, an overnight train ride, and the Marsham writes in his tshuva that the fellow on the train should light Neros Chanukah on the train. That he rents it, it's not like an LIRR thing, like where you're squashed between two people. It's like, yeah, get a whole cabin with a bed and a whole setup. So you should light Neros Chanukah on the train. So the Marsham says, you could be Mekayim in the midst of Neros Chanukah on a train. Someone told me, I don't know if this is true, but someone told me that Rav Zilberstein writes in in one of his svarim, someone said, the way the guy said it, Rav Zilberstein writes in his sefer. Like, that's like saying Rav Shechter says in his shir on Why You Torah. Like, good luck, go finding it. Every time Rav Zilberstein sneezes, they publish another sefer for me. So it was impossible to find. I checked every one. Chashuke Chemin, Val Revna, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. I checked all the different Meisharim, all the different Rav Zilberstein svarim. I couldn't find it. But someone told me that Rav Zilberstein writes in the sefer, in one of the svarim, that when you're on a plane, what you should do is as soon as the stewardess passes by you, you should light a candle, put it right there on your little tray table, and then it will stay lit till she comes back and tells you to put out the candle. And they pull you off the plane in handcuffs, and you spend the night in prison. It seemed like a very unrealistic, maybe that suggestion was pre-9/11 suggestion, but it seems like a very unrealistic suggestion to actually light a candle on a plane. Seems unwise in the extreme. So it doesn't seem that one would light a candle on a plane. However, others have told me that they've asked the Rebbeim here in Yeshiva. Someone told me Rav Baruch Simon. I didn't speak to Rav Simon myself about this, but someone said Rav Simon was telling everyone who was flying on Hanukkah, take a little flashlight and light a flashlight on the plane. And that way you'll be Yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah with a flashlight. Very fascinating discussion. Why it is that we don't use electric menorahs. What's the problem? Meaning, if we hold that an incandescent bulb has a din of Eish for Hilchos Shabbos, for concerns of Melachas Havara and Shabbos, and we know Reb Chaim Eizer made a Bori Moriah Eish on an incandescent bulb, so why not? Why can't we use it for Neros Chanukah? So there are four or five different reasons that different poskim suggest that we don't use it for Neros Chanukah, but it's far from a Vadai that you're not Yotzei Neros Chanukah with an electric light bulb. Certainly if it has its own battery right there, because one of the main tainas against the electric bulb is that it doesn't have its entire fuel source present, and the halach is in Shulchan Aruch that you need a half hour of oil in the menorah when you light, and when you plug a menorah into the wall, so the electric current is constantly flowing. It's not all there at the time. But if you have a battery right there, you have the full electric power. You have 30 minutes worth of juice in the battery right there, assuming you change the battery beforehand. So it's far from a vadai that you're not Yotzei the mitzvah. So maybe you can be Yotzei the mitzvah. Maybe you could. Whether you make a bracha or not, okay, it's also debatable, but even if you don't want to make a bracha, maybe you could be Yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah on a plane by lighting a flashlight. Now, the downside of that is that is twofold. First of all, it's not so pashut that a flashlight is okay for Ner Chanukah, because there is a whole slew of poskim, Rav Shechter amongst them, who are very concerned that when you stam light an electric bulb, it's not enough dumya de menorah. It's not similar enough to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. And Neros Chanukah have to be in some way similar to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why there are many poskim that hold that if you take candles and you just stick it down on a table, you put a piece of foil and you just stick the candles down on a table instead of putting them into some sort of kli, some sort of chanukiah, some sort of menorah that will hold them. There are many poskim that hold that one is not Yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah this way. Rav Shechter often tells the story that Rav Soloveitchik, when he used to come in to New York during Chanukah, he would always forget his menorah every single year. He was very, very brilliant and somewhat absent-minded sometimes, so he would always, always forget his menorah. And he would do that. He would take the candles and he would stick them down on the windowsill. And Rav Shechter tells the story that one time he was about to daven mincha in Shir, and someone comes running into Rav Shechter's Shir room and says, "I have a message from Rav Soloveitchik." "Yeah, what is it?" "He says you're crazy." So he said, "What? What do you mean?" "Well, he was last night we were by him and he was lighting the Neros Chanukah on the windowsill, and we said, oh, Rabbi Shechter said that you're not Yotzei the mitzvah that way. So tell Shechter he's crazy." So the guy did a shlichus and he went to tell Rabbi Shechter. It's a machlokas haposkin whether one could be Yotzei. What's the taina not to be Yotzei? The taina is that it's not dumya to the Ner in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash they had a menorah, and in the menorah they had oil, and the oil they had wicks, and on the wicks they had flames, and the electric flashlight is not at all similar. So that's one possible problem with just turning on an electric flashlight on the plane. The other problems are, there are other problems that are practical problems, in that when you turn on the electric flashlight, it's got to stay on for a half hour. It should be recognizable that it's the Shei Mitzvah, that it's for the sake of Ner Chanukah. You're sort of in close quarters. When you fly anything but first class, you're sort of in close quarters, and turning on random lights is likely to disturb somebody, or you're likely to be Nehene from the random lights, which is also probably now it'll be Nehene from Or Chanukah, from Ner Chanukah. So you could cause all sorts of practical problems. But more fundamentally than any of that, Who says you're chayiv in Ner Chanukah when you're on a plane? Meaning this whole discussion of how do you light Ner Chanukah on your plane? Should you get arrested by lighting a candle? Should you light a flashlight? Should you say Onus Rachman Abba? Who says you're chayiv in Ner Chanukah on a plane? Maybe you're tata pater. Maybe there's no chayiv whatsoever when you're traveling. Who says that you'd be pater and tata? What would make you pater? You're not pater from other mitzvahs when you're traveling. Many people don't realize this. You're not pater from tzniyos and from kashrus and davening and when you're traveling. Why would a person be pater from their Chanukah while they're traveling? So Rav Moshe writes like this in the Tshuva. Rav Moshe Nigros Moshe in Yeradei Chelek Gimel Simin Yadalid writes that someone who has no misha in lo bayis klal. Let's say you have a homeless person. V'yashin b'chutz, he sleeps outside. I'm on page one of the Maamar Kamos over here. After the cover page, don't be distracted by that, as beautiful as it is. So he says, the guy is Nimtza Bamidbar, Vigam Kishiira Shalohaya Bebeso, Via Bederech Kalalaila, or someone who just happens to not be home, and he's on the road all night. He's traveling all night on the night of Chanukah. I had Shaila, someone called me, they're driving back from Cleveland through the night. So when did they light Neres Chanukah? The same Shaila. You're traveling all night long. Ve'ein lo mi sheyadlik bebeso. Now, very important. You don't have somebody who's lighting for you in your house. If you have somebody who's lighting for you in your house, there's no problem. The shaila is over. Then it's easy. You are fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah through a shliach. You have the shliach light for you, and you're done. Everything's wonderful. Let's assume you don't have anybody who can light for you at your house, and you're traveling through the night. Says Rav Moshe, Mashma Merashi Shabbos Tav Chav Gimel Amar Aleph, that the person is completely potter, he has no mitzvah at all. What's the raya? I'm not going to read inside, but I'll say it outside. The raya is as follows. Rashi talks about, the Gemara talks about, if a person didn't light Ner Chanukah, but he's roe Ner Chanukah, he sees Ner Chanukah. You know, they say the Brisker Rav used to walk home after Marav like this so that he wouldn't see any Ner Chanukah and raise a shaila whether he should make a birchas haroa. If a person sees Ner Chanukah and he didn't light Ner Chanukah yet and he's not going to light Ner Chanukah that night, so there's a bracha. He should make the bracha shasa nisim when he sees Ner Chanukah. So says Rashi, what's an example of somebody who's not going to light Ner Chanukah? Just take a candle, light Ner Chanukah. Why would you possibly ever have a situation where you're not going to light Ner Chanukah, but you're going to see a Ner Chanukah? So Rashi says it's a guy who's on a boat, someone who's traveling on a boat. So ask for Moshe, okay, so you're traveling on a boat. Take out a candle and light the candle on the boat. What's the problem? Why would you be relying on the Birchas Haroah? Light your own Neros Chanukah on the boat. So says Rav Moshe, oh, what are you going to tell me? It must be that we're talking about a guy who's traveling on a boat and he has no Ner Chanukah. He's traveling on a boat and he doesn't have any Neros. Well, then why mention the whole boat part? Just say that you have a guy who doesn't have any Neros. Why would Rashi even mention the fact that he's on a boat? Elamai, says Rav Moshe, the guy is traveling on a boat, he has plenty of Neros, but he has no mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is Ner Ishu Beso, and he's not in a house. He's far away from home. He's traveling the whole night. So a person doesn't have a mitzvah to begin with of Ner Chanukah while he's traveling. So Rav Moshe says, therefore, there's no chiv, there's simply no mitzvah while a person is traveling. There's no mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. When a guy is home and he just can't afford a Ner Chanukah, Rachman al son can't afford a candle, so he has a mitzvah, but he just can't afford to do the mitzvah, so then the halach psuk and shulchan aruch, you have to sell your clothing in order to be able to do the mitzvah. But when you're traveling, you don't even have a mitzvah to begin with. So you're not going to have to pay money to change your ticket. You're not a bar chiyuvim. You don't have the mitzvah to begin with in Ner Chanukah. That luchor is how Rav Moshe would say in this case, that there's no mitzvah. Yeah?
Is there a problem in a situation where you're not going
to
be able
to? So in general, that's a very questionable thing to do, to put yourself in. So let's assume in this case, you should not make that ticket, if that's the question. The guy already made the ticket. He wants to know if he's mechuyev to get out of the ticket. Now, certainly you should not make the ticket. There is a discussion, there's a fascinating discussion in the Minchas Chinuch, the Tzlach and Psachim Dav Gimel and Beis discusses, there's a Tosos, see how little of the sugya I could say and still get the point across. Tosos raises the issue that for a person to get out of the mitzvah of being Ola L'Regel, all you have to be is a non-landowner. As long as you don't own land, you don't have to be Ola L'Regel. What about for doing the mitzvah of Karban Pesach? So the way that Tzlach reads the Tosos, the Tzlach says, is that let's say you live in Washington Heights. So you know you have a mitzvah to be Ola L'Regel, but you don't own any land, so you don't have a mitzvah to be Ola L'Regel. So what's going to happen is comes up Pesach time, you should have to go to Eretz Yisrael to bring Karban Pesach anyway. You're not going to be Ola L'Regel, but at least go bring Karban Pesach. Says the Tzlach, no, you could wake up an Erev Pesach in the morning, here in Washington Heights, and say, oh, now it's time to do Karban Pesach. Oh, but look at that. I'm all the way here in Washington Heights. I'm never going to be able to make it to the Beis HaMikdash in time. Oh, well, I guess I'm Bederek Rechoka. I guess I'm Pater. And that's okay. You don't have to think about the mitzvah till the Zman of the mitzvah arrives. Aliyah L'Regel, you need to think about it in advance because the mitzvah is already in advance. The mitzvah is in advance to go. That's the whole mitzvah. But you're non-landowner, you're part from Aliyah L'Regel. What about Karban Pesach? No, I guess I can't do it. It's too late. By the time you have to think about the mitzvah, it's too late. So Minchas Chinuch goes nuts on that. He said, what are you talking about? Then no one would ever do any mitzvah. And if that were true, says Minchas Chinuch, no Karban Pesach ever would have been brought in the history of the Jewish people. Because most people were B'derech R'chalka. And if most people are B'derech Chokah, the halacha is you only bring Pesach Sheni when it's a miyut of Klal Yisrael. So most people are B'derech Chokah by Pesach Rishon. No one would have ever brought a Karban Pesach. So he says it's absurd. That can't possibly be the case. But they're really struggling with that issue. How much do you need to think about it before? But let's make that easier and say, he already made the ticket, it's too late. It's too late to about making the ticket, but he could spend a lot of money to change the ticket. So we can safely say he's in the situation. Also a fair point. I mean, you could very cogently argue that he's not yet in the situation. Nothing's going to happen to him if he doesn't go on that plane. If he misses the flight, nothing's going to happen to him. Okay, you could make that argument. Yeah.
Is it Rosh's dig from Rashi? Is that necessarily so?
So Mukhrach? Not really. He has a better raya from Tosus and Sukkah, but for time constraints.
The
Gemara says it. The Gemara says you could do it separately. I mean, if you're not going to light, then you do a Birkas HaRayah. That part is it's just that this whole binyan that he builds, you know, with I mean, it must be that he has an heir, and it's just why, you know, the whole thing is a little bit cheshbon. He has a better right from Tosfos. His yisod is pretty nice. Not everyone agrees, but it's he has more than one right to this yisod. So now I was thinking, okay. Let's say you have this guy, he's on the plane. So we already have one possibility that he can be out, say, on the plane. So it's no problem at all. Of course, he's not going to have to change his ticket. Just turn on the flashlight. Okay, that's one possibility. Then we have a second possibility that maybe he doesn't have to change his ticket because he's not a bar chiyuva at all. He's not chayiv in the mitzvah. Then I started to think, well, wait a second. Generally speaking, if someone can't afford a mitzvah, if let's say the last lulav and esrog would cost you the shirt off your back, the last piece of matzah would cost you the shirt off your back, the halacha is you don't have to sell the shirt off your back to do the mitzvah. So generally speaking, we would say someone in a situation where you can't afford the mitzvah is also not chayiv in the mitzvah. Anus Rachmana Hatre, he's pater from a mitzvah. That's generally the way the rule would work out, that someone like that is pater from a mitzvah. So why is it by Ner Chanukah that we're mechayev a guy who can't afford the mitzvah? And once we understand why we're going to make him pay all that money for the mitzvah, maybe we can figure out whether we would say that being in a situation of being pater from the mitzvah would be enough to get you out of it, or maybe no. Maybe just like you have to spend to buy a candle, you have to spend to get into a situation where you're going to be chayiv in the mitzvah. You know, say what I'm saying? When a guy is traveling, you want to say, he's an anus, he's not chayiv in the mitzvah at all. Well, guess what? A guy who can't afford a mitzvah normally is also an anus, and he also is not chayiv at all. But you know what? By Ner Chanukah, we say that he's got to spend the money anyway. So maybe by the plane ticket, even if you accept Rav Moshe, that he's an anus and he can't afford the mitzvah at all, he's not bar chiyuva at all, but maybe he has to spend the money to become a bar chiyuva. So what are the svaras? Why is it that we have to spend so much money on Ner Chanukah? So I'm aware of two mahalchim. There's the mahalch of the Avnei Nezer. It's Maram Shik says like this as well in his Sefer HaMitzvos. The Avnei Nezer in Sim Tav Kuf Aleph suggests the following. He says that the idea of, and the same concept is elaborated on by Rav Yosef Engel and Asvan D'Oraisa, Klal Yud Gimel, but the basic idea is as follows, that there are certain mitzvos that are completely between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the sense that the mitzvah is, as I heard from Rav Yonasan Sachs once explained it very nicely, he said there's what we call maisa-oriented mitzvos and goal-oriented mitzvos. A maisa-oriented mitzvah is a mitzvah that I do. I do. Why am I shaking lulav? Because Hashem said shake lulav, and that makes Hashem happy. It's I do the maisa. What am I accomplishing by shaking lulav? I don't know. I'm doing the mitzvah. I'm accomplishing the mitzvah. That's it. That's what I'm accomplishing. There's no goal that I'm trying to achieve. Let's take a different mitzvah. Asiyas maka al gagecha, to make a maka around your roof. So it's not, what am I accomplishing by building the maka? I'm doing the maisa mitzvah of building a maka. No, that's not what I'm accomplishing. What I'm accomplishing is a safe environment. I'm accomplishing a safe home. There are certain mitzvot that are very clearly goal-oriented in nature. They're not just maiso-oriented. So says Rav Yosef Engel and the Avnei Nezer in less clear terminology, when it comes to a mitzvah persumei nisa, yeah, there may be a mitzvah hadlaka, the maisa of hadlaka, but there's a very clear goal of accomplishing persumei nisa. The din that you don't have to spend more money than you could afford on a mitzvah, is a din in a maisa-oriented mitzvah. To do any maisa mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara Bracha says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're an anus if you can't afford it, and therefore it's ki'ilu aso, it's as if you did it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this one's on me, I'll make it as if you did it. That's by a maisa-oriented mitzvah. But when you have a goal-oriented mitzvah, let's take Makkah for instance. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, ah, Nebuch, you can't afford, the roofer is charging so much money for a fence around the roof, you can't afford it, don't worry, this one's on me. And then a guy falls off your roof and dies. You say, oh, sorry, this one was on God. Well, that guy's not going to like the fact that that one was on God. He's not going to be happy with the results. You were supposed to achieve a result, and you didn't achieve it. So what do you mean it's ki'ilu asa? It's not ki'ilu asa, because the roof is unsafe. When it comes to a mitzvah persumei nisa, there's a clear goal in mind, and that is be mefarsim the nes. Anything short of being mefarsim the nes, you didn't do the mitzvah. And therefore, you'd have to do whatever you can to accomplish that goal, even spending way more money than you would normally spend on a mitzvah. That's one possible svara. Another possible svara from Mori Rabbi Rav Shachter in Mipnei Arav, he quotes from Rav Soloveitchik as follows. He says that, very beautiful, Derech Hashkafa, he says that, in general, the Ribono Shel Olam limits himself when he runs the world to certain rules. He runs the world in a reasonable way. Those rules that he runs the world with are called teva. That generally the Ribono Shel Olam acts in a reasonable way, that reasonable way is called teva. Generally speaking, we live our lives in a reasonable way, and Hashem expects us to live our lives in a reasonable way. You don't take every last penny you have and buy an esrog with every last penny you have. I often comment to my Talmidim that that movie, what was it called? The guy spent all of his last money, I always forget the Ushbizin. It bothered me so much. It's neged the halacha. The guy spent all of his last, I'm such a kalta litvak, but it bothered me so much that he spent his last pennies on Nesach. It's against the halacha. Hamavazi is al yavaz vizil semichomash. You're not allowed to, it's asr. So he spent, why do we not spend our last pennies on Nesach? Because that's unreasonable. Because Nebuch, the guy had no food in his pantry. His wife, Nebuch, was going to starve. They had nothing. So we're expected to live within reason, even in our Shemiras HaMitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to spend within reason, live within reason. But every once in a while, the Ribono Shel Olam himself will go beyond his normal, reasonable way of running the world, will go outside of his normal rules, meaning what we call Teva, and he'll make a Nes. And when we celebrate a Nes, when we celebrate the Ribono Shel Olam going beyond Teva, so we should also break our normal rules. We should also not be reasonable and just go all in. We have a mitzvah, we're going to do a mitzvah, we're mechuyev in a mitzvah that's beyond that commemorates a nes, so we're going to go beyond our normal rules and we're just going to go all in, we're going to spend all our money on that mitzvah. That's how salvation explained. So I was thinking, maybe the two reasons would be enough kamina in our case. When you have a guy who can't afford Neros Chanukah, so there are two ways to understand why he has to spend all that money, why he has to sell his clothing for Neros Chanukah. One way of understanding it is he has to sell his clothing for Neros Chanukah because the bottom line is you need to do persumei nisa. Whatever it takes, get it done. It doesn't matter what kind of sacrifice you're making to get it done. Get it done. The other way to understand it is that the din of hamavazeh, zal yavazeh, zilsur michomesh, doesn't apply to Neros Chanukah. Why? Because you have to spend more money on this mitzvah since it's the commemorated Nes. So once you're chayiv in the mitzvah, you're not limited by the din of a mevazvez al yevazvez yosef michomesh. Which would mean that if you're not chayiv in the mitzvah, you wouldn't have to spend a lot of money to become chayiv. It's a din for somebody who's chayiv in the mitzvah to limit his spending, to not limit his spending, to spend as much as he can once he's chayiv in the mitzvah. There's no hamevazvez. But if you're not even chayiv in the mitzvah, so you don't have any requirement to become a chayiv, so I thought maybe that's enough gemina. Between our cases, there's enough gemina between the Avnei Nezer and Rav Soloveitchik's explanation. that if you say like the Avnei Nezer's explanation, that it's all, it's not about whether you're chayiv in the mitzvah, not chayiv in the mitzvah, it's about presuming nisan. Is presuming nisan done al yadcha? If it's not, well then get it done. I don't care if you're on a plane in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Get off that plane, get it done. But if you say like Rav Soloveitchik, it's not about the result. It's about a rule within the confines of this mitzvah. That when you have a bar chiyuv in this mitzvah, so the guy has to forget about the rule that you don't spend so much money. So you spend all the money. But if you're not a bar chiyuv to begin with, because you're on a plane, so good, then you don't have to worry about spending all that money, because you're not a bar chiyuv to begin with. Maybe that's enough kamina. There is a broader discussion in general. I want to at least get to one more shaila, so I'll try to wrap this up. There's a broader discussion in general. If you look at the Asfan D'Oraisa and Klal Yud Gimel, whether Onas Rachmana Patre in general, when we say that a person is an Onas and he can't do the mitzvah, does that mean the mitzvah doesn't exist? Or does that mean the mitzvah exists, it's just that he's not going to be faulted for failure to do the mitzvah? That may also play a role over here. Because let's assume not like Rav Moshe. Let's assume the guy on the plane is chayiv in the mitzvah, but Nebuch is an Onas. If he lights a candle, he's going to get arrested. So no one would hold you have to get arrested and make a tremendous chilul Hashem, and we don't have to be reading about that in the newspapers. Everyone would hold you don't light the candle. Let's assume. I would imagine even Rav Zilberstein would be moded that you don't really have to light a candle and get arrested post 9/11. So if you're going to assume not like Rav Moshe that the guy is chayiv, but Onas Rachmana Patre, he's an Onas while he's on the plane. Well, there are two ways to understand that also. Onas Rachmana Patre might mean that he's patur legamri, that the mitzvah doesn't exist. Or it might mean that the mitzvah exists, but so it's there, but we're not going to fault him for not doing it. In which case, maybe he should have to spend a lot of money to make sure he does it. Spend a lot of money to change his plane ticket to make sure that he's able to do the mitzvah. The Nafkamina, the Sfan D'Oraisa quotes, if a person misses a tefillah because of an ones, does he daven tefillahs tashlumin? So if Anus Rachmanu Patre, it's machlokas taz in the drisha. So if Anus Rachmanu Patre means that there's no mitzvah at all, so there was no tefillah that you missed. There was no chiyuv tefillah. So then you wouldn't do tefillahs tashlumin. But if Anus Rachmanu Patre means that there was a mitzvah, it's just that God's going to forgive you for not doing it, so then there would be tefillahs tashlumin. At the end of the day, I thought, personally, and you could go in any which way on this shaila, I thought Mikra didn't probably, Rav Moshe is correct over here, that the guy is not chayiv b'chlal, and I would think that the halacha would be that if you're not chayiv in the mitzvah at all, you don't have to, you're not required to spend all that money to change the ticket to become chayiv in the mitzvah, that the din that you spend all the money in Ner Chanukah is when you're a bar chayuva, you simply can't afford the mitzvah. But lahagdil Torah ladir, light a flashlight if he wants to light a flashlight on the plane anyway, without a bracha, definitely without a bracha.
But couldn't his daughter be
shliach? So that's not pashut at all, because he's leaving her house before the zman hadlaka, so he's already oker from that residence before the zman hadlaka. So his real makom for hadlaka is his own home, where he's heading to, if it's not the plane. It's either the plane or it's his own home where he's heading to. So he's sort of in between. He's sort of homeless during this tkufa that he's on the plane. But Pasha is definitely not the daughter. It's a similar discussion. I spoke recently in yeshiva about someone at a Talmud got married. I was Masar Kedushin at a wedding on Wednesday night. So the Talmud wanted to know where does he light Neros Chanukah. So there's also a similar discussion. He's homeless. He left his parents' home. He's not moving into his apartment until the following night. So he's homeless for that night. So where does he light Neros Chanukah? So Moshe Lechor would say Pater. So that's a question. Do you light at the hall? Do you light at the hotel? Are you yotzei with the parents lighting something? Okay, it's a lebedik discussion. We have time for one more. We'll do one more. Rather than go deeper into this one, I figure we'll do maybe one more. Any of you read any of the other questions? Have a preference which one we should do?
Number two?
Okay. There must have been, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 dozen articles that I've seen, didn't read most of them about Thanksgivica. Most of them, I don't know, didn't really add anything new to the conversation, I don't think. The idea that Hanukkah falls out on Thanksgiving is a rare occurrence, but for the most part a meaningless occurrence. It doesn't really mean anything. All the shailas that people say, oh, I got a Thanksgivica shaila, the shailas were always, can I eat before Hanukkah is Neros Chanukah? So that happens whenever you have a Chanukah party, Shaila. It's not a Thanksgiving Shaila. But then I got one that was a real Thanksgiving Shaila. This I was also very misspelled from. a woman had to go to the mikveh on Thursday night. So Thursday night was the second night of Hanukkah. It also happens to have been Thanksgiving. They were invited to her family, to his family, I don't remember, to her husband's family, whichever it was. They were having a Thanksgiving feast at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Traditional Thanksgiving feast, for those who are not familiar, involves a turkey. And they were going to be eating turkey at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, the halach is in Shulchan Aruch that a woman on the Leil Tevilah, not just Leil Tevilah, on the entire day preceding her Tevilah, preceding going to the mikvah, the halach is that she's not allowed to eat basar. So her shaila is, however, let's say a woman has a Tevilah on Motzai Shabbos. So she's not allowed to eat basar at all on Shabbos, so we pass, and of course she's allowed to eat basar on Shabbos, it's Sudas Mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos that she should eat basar. So of course, or Motzai Yom Tov, Simchas Yom Tov, of course, she has a mitzvah to eat basar. Poskim discuss, what about Purim? So they say, Purim also, a mitzvah of Simcha, she should eat basar. Good, that's fine. We'll forego the halacha or the minhag, not to eat basar the whole day of the tefillah. For Shabbos, for Yom Tov, for Purim, for Thanksgiving, not so much. We probably wouldn't say. But it wasn't just Thanksgiving this year. It was also Hanukkah. So a very clever husband said, the husband said, wait a second, this might be a Sudas Mitzvah. Why is it a Sudas Mitzvah? Because it's Hanukkah. Having a Suda on Hanukkah is Sudas Mitzvah, and maybe you're going to be allowed to eat turkey at the meal because Sudas Mitzvah for Hanukkah. That was the chat. So in order to answer that question, whether that's true or not, whether that's correct or not, you need to take a step back and say, well, where does this whole basar thing come from? The idea of not eating basar, how strong of a minhag is it, and why exactly do we make an exception for Shabbos and for Yom Tov? So it's based on a comment that Beis Yosef has, that many of the most beautiful and really the most chamur minhagim that we have when it comes to Hilchos Nida were thought of by the women themselves. And there's the Chumrat Rabbi Zeira, that Benos Yisrael Chumir Al Atzman, if you haven't learned Hilchos Nida yet, you'll get there. But Beis Yosef writes, Re'isi Nashim Ksheros. I've seen that Nashim Ksheros have a beautiful minhag. Shalol lechol basar b'yom lecht on the Beis HaTevilah. That they don't eat meat the day they go to the mikvah. And the reason they don't eat meat is because meat gets stuck between the teeth. And you can't have a chatzitza between the teeth when you go to the mikvah. They could brush their teeth and they could floss and it will all be good. I remember when I was taking chassan classes with Rabbi Neuberger many years ago. He was saying how a woman should brush her teeth before going to the mikvah. And it used to be not a one-on-one thing. It was like 15 guys in the room. And one guy said, wait a second, what about flossing? So Rabbi Neuberger said, dental student? And the guy said, yeah. It's a good guess. So she should, even though she's going to clean her teeth, that basar gets stuck between the teeth. Basar is very hard to remove from between the teeth. So this problem most often comes up during the summertime. You're invited to a family barbecue. Shkia is not till 8:30. Barbecue's at 6 o'clock. What are you going to eat at the barbecue? Well, you're not going to eat the meat, so what are you going to eat? The corn on the cob? That's much worse. That gets stuck between the teeth a lot worse than meat gets stuck between the teeth. So that's where it most commonly comes up. But it's a minhag, because we assume la halacha, a woman will be able to clean out her teeth properly. She'll brush, she'll floss, and whatever's going to be left after brushing and flossing is a miyat sheino makbid. It's not going to be a chatzitza in the tevilah. That's what we would generally assume, but it's a minhag. However, it's a minhag that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes that after Yesh Nagim Shalol Lechal Basar B'Yom Lecht on the Yom HaTevilah M'neshu Nichlas Bein HaShinayim Yosim Maichal Acher, it gets stuck between the teeth more so than other foods. V'Yafal Pisha Bodkos V'Chotzos HaShinayim, even though she brushes and flosses Choshesh's Dilma Tishtayim Minei V'Lavadaita U'Minag Yafehu. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's a very good minag. This is a minag yafeh. Interestingly, the Gra says, and where does this come from, this idea of basar bein hashinayim? It comes from the 8th parak of Maseches Chulin, daf kuf hei amar aleph. Achal basar asar v'chulei. The Gra, in classic style, the Gra doesn't give you half a line and you're supposed to know what he's talking about. The Gra refers to the Gemara in Chulin that says that if a person eats meat, you're not allowed to eat milchigs right afterwards. And the Rambam says, why you're not allowed to eat milchigs right afterwards? Basar bein hashinayim. Because meat will get stuck in between your teeth. So first, there's a tiny minority of poskim that say that maybe it doesn't apply to chicken. Maybe it doesn't apply to fowl. Maybe it doesn't apply to turkey. Assuming you're allowed to eat turkey. Let's work with that. Maybe it doesn't apply to chicken or turkey. That it only applies to basar behema. So there is a small minority of poskim that assume that it won't apply. But pashtus is it does apply. How do I know it does apply? Because what does the Gra shtel to this halacha too. What is he to borrow Rabbi J.J. Shachter's lasha? What does the Gra connect this halacha to? He connects it to the halacha that you, after eating meat, you should wait 6 hours before you eat milchix. And do we wait 6 hours after chicken? Do we wait 6 hours after turkey? Yes, we do. We wait during after chicken and turkey also. So if it's the same halacha, it's mistaver that it should apply to all types of meat. So that's aleph. So probably it applies to turkey as well. So what kinds of sudas are we making? Before, so we said sudas mitzvah. Okay, so the next thing to look at is a sudas chanukah, a sudas mitzvah? So the Mechaber says that there's no din of eating sudos in source number 5 on the bottom of page 3. Revoy sudas shemarim mem sudas rishus. It's all sudas rishus. But says the Ramah, if you're going to say zmiros v'tishbachos, and you combine that together with the fact that it's chanukah, it's not just any sudah you say zmiros v'tishbachos becomes sudas mitzvah. You need both. Mishnah Berurah points out. It needs to be zmiros v'tishbachos and chanukah. You put them together, you have a sudas mitzvah. So the guy said to me, do we have to sing zmiros to make this sudas mitzvah in order to be able to solve this problem? So I said, probably zmiros v'tishbachos doesn't necessarily mean that you have to necessarily sing. It means that you should say halva odot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should be meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like you should go around the table saying what you're thankful for. Something like that, which probably you're going to do anyway. So that's probably good enough in terms of making a sudas mitzvah. But then, when you read through the poskim that discuss the din of not eating basar, the minhag of not eating basar on the day of tevilah, and why they're makel with Shabbos, why they're makel with Yontif, they all emphasize because Shabbos is not a Shabbos without meat. Yontif is not a Yontif without meat. Even Purim, you have to be sameach tzedakah with meat. So it's the most appropriate food to have on Shabbos and on Yontif. So you're not going to ruin your Shabbos, ruin your Yontif, ruin your Purim because of a minhag that Hashem Kesheros had. What's the most appropriate food to have on Chanukah? So Shulchan Aruch says right after that, mamish the next line in Ramah, after v'nog l'omer z'miros v'shpachos, and then v'az ha'visudas mitzvah, the very next words, yesh omrim, sheyesh lechol gavina b'chanukah, l'fisha anes nasa b'chalav. The minhag is that we eat milchiks. That's the most appropriate food to eat on Chanukah. So you can say, I'm eating meat because it's a sudas mitzvah, and because it's sudas mitzvah, that's why it's not going to be a problem with the tevilah. It's hard to say. If it was really about the sudas mitzvah, you would be having cheese. You wouldn't be having meat. But then there's a third issue, and with this we'll close because I'm already late. And the third issue is that, in general, there is a Ramah in some Reish Beis. Ramah says that when the night that a woman goes to the mikvah, she should be mastir lel tevilasa. For tznius reasons, she shouldn't go around advertising, hey everybody, I'm going to the mikvah, I'll see you soon. You don't tweet, guess where I am? You don't advertise when you're going to the mikvah. Because for tznius reasons, you're supposed to keep it quiet when you're going to the mikvah. So Rav Vadia discusses, he quotes Machlok Saposka about this in Taras Habayis, Chelek Gimel. Rav Vadia discusses, if she's not going to eat meat at the Suda, everyone's going to realize that tonight's her Lel Tevila. She doesn't have to hide when she's in Nida. That's a different issue. Lel Tevila, she's supposed to hide. And eating bus is directly linked with Lel Tevila. So if everyone's going to chap, maybe that's a chisaron and tznius that would outweigh the minna. So I thought when you put all of them together, it was enough reason to be makel. I spoke to my brother, he vehemently disagreed with me, but I thought that there was enough to be makel when you put all of them together. That the minority of poskim, Rabbi Neuberger amongst them, who holds that fowl is not a problem, that chicken and turkey and that kind of thing is not a problem. Then you have the possibility that it's sudas mitzvah with shiros v'tishbachos, and sudas mitzvah is nothing. Then you have the plus lichisar and tznius, that everyone's going to realize she always eats turkey, and boom, this year she decides that she's not going to eat turkey. So they're either going to think she's pregnant and nauseous, or they're going to think that she's going to the mikveh, and either one is going to be uncomfortable for her. So I thought if you put all three together, as long as she promises to brush and floss again afterwards, I thought there was room to be makel.
Can you just
see
the last reason about
No, because she doesn't have to be at the Suda. She doesn't have to do it in such an obvious way. But turkey dinner, Thanksgiving, I don't know, I thought it was a little obvious. If the Messiah says that it's not obvious, then ain't a chanami. That's not a sniff lahakal at all. I don't want anyone to be late for Maariv, so thank you very much for your time.
The only school in Hadra you sit in was a Gra and secure tickets, like first hand tickets. Right?
Yeah.
Whether you had the few in the score, just to make sure that you can't do because of the rain
stopped
you.
Right.
It was a Gra.
Yeah. Very good.
Huh? Very good. Run this.
Yeah.